The word of the Lord from John chapter 1, verses 43 to 51. The next day, Jesus decided to go to Galilee. He found Philip and says to him, "Follow me." Now Philip was from Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. And Philip found Andrew and says to him, "We have found him of whom Moses and the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, son of Joseph." Nathanael said to him, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" Philip said to him, "Come and see." Jesus saw Nathanael coming toward him and said of him, "Behold, an Israelite indeed in whom there is no deceit." Nathanael said to him, "How do you know me?" And Jesus answered him, "Before Philip called you, when you were under the fig tree, I saw you." Nathanael answered him, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." Jesus answered him, "Because I said to you, I saw you under the fig tree, do you believe? You will see greater things than these." And he said to him, "Truly, truly, I say to you, you will see heaven opened and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. The text for our gospel proclamation comes from the Gospel of St. John that I just finished reading for you and serves the basis of the theme for the second Sunday after the Epiphany, open for eternity. Have you ever talked to a teenager and noticed that sometimes they have a funny way of talking in the present tense? I'll give an example of a conversation I heard the other day. So I says to him, "Like, we're doing this, all right?" And he says to me, "I don't know. We can do whatever." And I says to him, "Okay, whatevs. Let's go then, all right?" You probably need to be a teenager to really understand what they're saying, but I think you get the point. It's a short order form of English that gets to the point quickly, and anyone that cares what they're saying understands it. In our gospel appointed for the second Sunday after the Epiphany, John has an interesting way of talking just like a teenager. I know it's simple Greek he is writing, and that is the most likely reason why, but I could not help but feel there was more to it as Pastor Moore and I translated this passage in our Monday study group. Truly, from the present, shifting to the past tense, seems to be telling us something important. And I believe it is telling us God is working and happening right now, and we know that because he has undeniably worked before. So when Jesus says, "Follow me," he means it now, just like he always has. So Jesus tells Philip to follow him. And that got me wondering, why is Philip, a resident of Bethsaida, all the way up on the other side of the Sea of Galilee, doing down here in Judea by the Jordan River? That's a 70-mile or 4 to 6 day trip by foot. There's no indication that Philip or Nathanael knew anything about Jesus at this point, and yet they came here. Nathanael, who was from Cana, now in Judea, where they encountered Jesus for the first time just after his baptism. One can safely surmise they were there to confess their sins. They were there to have their sins washed away in baptism. They were there because they were good Galilean Jews, quite distinct from the Judean Jews we will see in a moment. And they were exactly where Jesus knew they would be and wanted him to be. "We got him right where we want him." That was Keith Bishop, the guard of the Denver Broncos offensive line, when they found themselves in the 1987 AFC Championship game on the 2-yard line with 5 minutes to go, down to 13 to 20. It looked impossible. But miracle after miracle happened with incredible passes from John Elway. And they marched down the field, tying the game to send it into overtime, where they would win with a sudden death field goal. How many of us can tell the miraculous stories where we were right where we needed to be at the right time to get that great price on a washing machine? Or we just avoided a terrible accident? Or we stumbled onto a raffle that gave out huge prizes? We can probably all tell at least one story that happened to us or someone we know. But that story is really God's story for you, because he put us in the story to get the greatest gift of all before we even knew the gift was for us. Can anything good come from Nazareth? Nathaniel says. Nathaniel knew nothing. Well, don't get me wrong. He did technically know Nazareth, but he clearly didn't know what goodness was indeed coming. In our Winkle this week, a pastor told us a hilarious story about a friend at the seminary with him that made fun of his hometown of Oshkosh, Wisconsin. He would always give Frank, this pastor, a side-eye look and say, "Aren't you from Oshkosh, Frank?" And Frank would reply, knowing exactly what was coming, "Yes, I am. Can anything good come from Oshkosh?" After several times of doing this to Frank in their first 2 years of seminary, Frank finally told him off. "You know what? You keep making fun of Oshkosh and God is going to send you there for your vicarage." Well, the vicarage assignment day came, and lo and behold, he did get assigned to a church in Oshkosh, and Frank was vindicated. But the best part is he and his wife had their first child on vicarage in Oshkosh, and they finally had to admit there is something good that did come from Oshkosh. I sort of feel that way about Nathaniel today. Sure, Nazareth wasn't great, but there was some good from there. In the midst of his snarkiness towards that humble little town, Philip comes along with simple language that doesn't argue with the snark. And you have to ask yourself, who does this? How many times has someone dissed something we care dearly for, and when they brought the snark, we gave them snark in return? You can tell Pastor Moore and I are pretty much bros, because we do this all the time to each other. He'll come in the room where we are meeting with other people together and will immediately snark at me, "If I knew you were coming, I wouldn't have bothered being here." I would reply, "Oh yeah? Well, if I knew you were coming, I would have made sure the door was locked before you got here." No matter what the occasion, no matter who is there, every time we see each other, the snark is on. And the goal is to see who can get the best dig in before we have to get down to business. I don't really do this with anyone else, as I'm pretty sure they wouldn't understand the gentle ribbing and fun. In fact, it would probably bring a significant amount of verbal abuse, and rightfully so, if they don't know me. But Philip shows me today that he could handle my snark and disbelief. And truly, that is his gift from God. And why he was exactly where God wanted him to be, so Nathaniel could see what only Jesus could see. Think about Philip's response to Nathaniel's snark. He just got done telling him the best news ever and then got the snarky response and still loves his friend enough to gently reply, "Come and see." Oh, how simply perfect is Philip's response to snarky Sammy Nathaniel. Doesn't get down on his level. It raises the discourse to where it needs to be, because Jesus had plans for this man whom Jesus said was without deceit. And for all Nathaniel's snarkiness, he and Philip had one quality the Judean Jews Jesus normally encountered did not. Philip and Nathaniel came at Jesus honestly. They didn't have trickery in mind. They didn't try to get him handed over to the authorities. They didn't try to undermine the loyalty of the people, like the Judeans did. No, they listened. And their eyes were opened, and they believed that Jesus was the one. And in so doing, the Holy Spirit gave them an epiphany that would make them disciples and apostles until their martyrdom in the late first century. And that revelation was the knowledge that Jesus is the Son of God. And Jesus would later reveal to them he was in fact God, with a little hint in the end of today's gospel. Jesus directly quotes the Old Testament of Jacob's dream at Bethel, when his eyes were opened and he saw exactly what Jesus said would happen to him as well. This is a powerful confirmation that Jesus is Jacob, or better understood, Jesus is Israel reduced to one. And the greater things Philip and Nathanael would soon bear witness to is the very opening of the temple itself, when its curtain would tear in two and its floor would crack open down the middle. The skies would open and weep over the death of our Savior. And then after being laid in a tomb, having died for the sins of the world, the tomb itself would open and our Savior Jesus would walk out alive, showing us that he is risen. He is God, and he has opened the gates of heaven for all who repent and believe in him. Snarky? No. By faith, open to everything Jesus did? Yes. Amen. Now may that peace which surpasses all understanding guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus always. Amen.